Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? This is a unique show in a lot of ways. One, I never go this late, but for this guy, it's going to happen. Rob Lauder, how are you, my friend?
I'm absolutely fantastic, and I'm stoked out of my mind to be here.
This is fun. I'm excited because we spent last year together around draft time considerably. And you know, we did a little bit of the live broadcasting during the draft, which was a lot of fun. And you know, my whole thing, I'm always selfish. If you don't know me, I'm a very selfish person. And so I always want to know.
Such a horrible person.
I know. And I get that a lot too. I want as much as I can get as possible from Rob Lauder and the Striking Gold Podcast. If you don't listen, obviously most of you guys do, go Striking Gold Podcast, Rob Lauder, Blue Wire Network, great people, great system and great show. I want to get as much draft nuggets out of you as possible. And, you know, coaching background, good dude, beat writer, Niners, you name it, you do it. And so I came up with this little alliteration called Lauder's Laws, the laws of the draft. Yeah. And so we're just going to pick your brain, man. And we're going to see how this goes. So initial thoughts on the 2025 draft in the 49ers so far, like, are you like it? Are you finding some guys that you're in love with, or are you kind of like out on this draft? What's your overall sentiment just on the lay of the land?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is like, I have ideas that I need you to validate. Like I do not put in the amount of work that you put in. I have watched comfortable saying that I've watched maybe like 24 players, you know, like where I've actually paid attention to them. And that list is growing by the day. I'm doing my best, but I tried to this year, at least on Striking Gold, like give free agency its due. You know what I mean? Like I was deliberately pushing draft stuff back. That way we could go crazy once we got past free agency. But so I have kind of like my ideas, my theories, which can only be made true by like your knowledge. You know, like we have to combine our powers here because I'm not anywhere near the prospect guy. You can tell me like the best tight end that's supposed to go in the fifth round, you know, like you could tell me that. Whereas I can say, take a tight end in the fifth round, John, who they take, you know what I mean? We got to kind of
Jalen Conyers, that. Texas Tech. That's who.
Exactly. I knew that wasn't a bridge too far for you, but when it comes to, I mean, to be honest, I think that this draft could not be better for the 49ers in their current state. Because it's not that there's necessarily an abundance of blue chippers at 11, which would have been nice because the 49ers, at least they don't plan on picking 11 very often since the boys have rolled in, Kyle and John. But if your defensive line cupboard is going to be so bare that all you have in there is like little imprints of where things used to sit and the dust has fallen so you can see where they used to be, but they're no longer there. All I'm thinking about in my head is that, what's that old movie, Indian in a Cupboard or something like that? Like,
yeah. Oh, heck yeah, man. That was a great
so it's
one.
Like, I just think like there's almost nothing there. No disrespect to Nick Bosa and some of the boys that are actually on the roster. But if there was a draft where your defensive line is in just an alarming state, this is the one. Like, And I think I don't want to jump the gun, but if they're, you know, for the 49ers with their current roster state, and they've got starting spots all over the roster, there's no doubt about that. But there is no position group on that roster that is more devoid of talent and starting experience right now than the defensive line.
And one of the questions that I wanted to kind of, it's not just defensive ends or defensive tackles, it's both. And we obviously any 49ers draft coverage is going to be heavily emphasized on those two spots. Can you remember a last time in Shanahan's tenure with the 49ers that there was this glaring position of weakness heading into the draft? I can't really target
other than quarterback. I mean, when they first showed up, you brought in Brian Hoyer and just did the best you could do. And then just Jimmy G was dropped into their laps. But no, I was thinking that same thing. I'm like, when's the last time that there was a position group this vulnerable, I guess you could say. Everybody has seen what the 49ers starting lineup would be right now if they went into the season right now. You've got Nick Bosa. You'd have... I mean, who do you want to even put in the middle? Evan Anderson and
Just
the fact that we went straight to Evan Anderson, no slight to him, tells you where we're at, you know, and Jordan Elliott, whatever. And then Yeter Gross-Matos, I guess, you know, it's
I'd prefer Sam O to be a starter, to be honest.
I would never have an argument for that. It's just, that's just where we're at. And what's crazy about this more than anything, like if the 49ers were in trouble at receiver, which they're not that far from being in trouble at receiver. It's just that it's the defensive line more than anything. I mean, we go all the way back to the Trent Baalke era and the 49ers that John Lynch inherited it. You've got, I mean, at that point, DeForest Buckner was already on the roster. Eric Armstead was on the roster. They added to it with Solomon Thomas. They added to it with Nick Bosa. And so it seemed like that type of mentality and that trend was going to continue. And now you look at the defensive linemen that they've taken over the past like 2 or 3 or 4 years. I don't know how far it goes back, but it's just nothing. No, nothing early. Nothing impactful. It's just this total, like, I don't know if that's Kyle Shanahan beating out John Lynch over and over. Cause you know, John Lynch and the way he talks about the guys he used to play with, that he loves D-line. And he knows that as a former safety, the defensive line make his job so much easier and they don't have it. So does that mean that Kyle Shanahan's just winning that battle? I mean, I guess I see it, but so I don't know, man. It's weird. It's just weird to me.
And I think what complicated, I think during free agency in the offseason, everybody was like, all right, this is what we need. This is what we need. And then free agency kind of fizzles down. And then you release Leonard Floyd and Malik Collins. And it was just like, whoa, all right. Like you were supposed to kind of fortify with the younger guys. But now it's like, there's nothing there. The cupboard, again, Indian in the cupboard, it's bare. It is open, and there are a lot of spots. So we're going to be talking a lot, and again, when we do our mock draft, we're going to go through some of this. But I got a really good question from David R. this week, and I wanted to run this by
David.
He talked about, and it sounds kind of crazy at first, but I want you to stick with me here. Would you be willing to trade out of the first round this year? Now, here would be the trade package. You would get a second and third rounder this year and a future first. And so again, like my first answer was no, you got to get a premium player. But man, the more I look at this draft, I think there's a clear cut kind of top five, but I don't think there's a big difference between 11 and 30 and really right. 11 to 40. I mean, my 42nd player is Trey Amos, who I think is a first round corner. Like he's right. A good damn player. Niners met with him. So yeah. What are your thoughts? Trade out of the first. It's probably not going to happen, but trade out of first, you get a second and third this year and a future first rounder. General manager Rob Lauder, what are your thoughts on this?
Man, that's fun to think about because the 49ers are in this kind of gray area where they need obvious talent, which is why I've kind of not pounded the table, but I would be in favor of them trading up for somebody like Mason Graham if he kind of slipped a little bit. Because
right.
Not only do they need to hit on these picks, which doesn't always happen. I mean, good GMs are like they're like batting averages. If you're a GM and you're hitting on like 33% of your picks, you're doing a good job. Well, it's clear the 49ers are betting on a hell of a lot more than 33% this year. But at the same time, you're getting to that point where if Jed York really is putting pressure down on top of the organization to find a way to get cheaper, and look, like, I don't want to go too far off topic. I don't blame Jed York for being like that in this
moment. Go off topic, man. You go crazy.
I don't blame him for being like that in this moment because of the way he's treated the last five or six. Like, hey, I gave you everything you could possibly want for those 5 or 6 years, and we missed out on it twice. And now maybe that pressure from Jed York is going to be a good thing in the long run. We'll see. We don't even really know how much he's said. So anyways, it's a weird, I'm being pulled both ways by that question because I want the 49ers to get talent that has a good chance of working out, which you're going to get higher in the draft. That being said, a couple episodes ago, I broke down every single draft pick of the John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan era. The first three rounds are not their forte.
No.
Which is so weird because if you look at draft articles, and this is very common sense, it's not going to blow anybody's mind. The closer you are to round one, the higher the percentages the player's going to work out. And then that percentage lowers as the draft goes on. I don't understand why the 49ers have hit on late round picks so successfully. And we can kind of squeeze the third round into that, but they haven't been good there lately either. I don't understand how they've hit on players when you're not supposed to hit on players and not hit on players when you're supposed to hit on players. You know, there's just this weird thing going on. So when you tell me I can trade all the way out of the first round and gather up another second and a third and a future first, is that what it was?
Yeah, so a second, third this year, future first.
You would just be telling, you would be looking at two philosophies here. Relinquishing the player in which you have the best chance of hitting on for more rolls at the dice. I don't know which one I'd take, to be honest. It's a great question. It's a great question. It would have to be one of those things. Here's the ultimate cop-out, like sitting on the fence. It would have to be one of those decisions made in the moment. Like, we're at pick 11 or we're at pick 7 or 8. It's clear that the guys that you really hope for are not going to make it to you. Okay, let's pop smoke and get the hell out of here. You know what I mean? But that's kind of a crappy answer. I would do it, but only if I realized that anybody who I was excited about was no longer there.
And so, like, my initial thought was like, no, absolutely not. But David asked this, like, how do the points add up in this trade situation, right? The Niners have pick 11, which is 1250 point-wise on Jimmy Johnson trade chart. When you get a future first, that's equivalent of a mid-second, okay? So about 450. So my answer, the more I thought about this, was, well, what teams? It would be dependent on the teams. And here's the thing. If it's one of the bad teams, you know, and again, I made a list. Yeah, if it was one of these teams, then I'd totally be down. Titans, Browns, Giants, Patriots, Jags, Raiders, Jets, Panthers, Saints.
Because the trick, the point that I know you're getting at is they said trading out of the first round.
Right.
So you're assuming that it's to one of the bad teams at the beginning of the second round. If they said the back of the first round, I'd be a little more hesitant because you know that the second and the thirds you're getting are probably at the back of their rounds next year anyways.
Right. And shout out to my man, Kevin Barr, in the chat. He's basically a father figure of mine. Like, love this man. But he's a Cowboys fan, so he's flawed. If the Cowboys were in that trade, I would take that in a heartbeat. Because, again, it has to be one of those bad teams. So I have about 8 to 10 teams where I would entertain that. But usually the problem is these bad teams, like the Cowboys and the other teams I mentioned, they're not willing to give up future firsts because they don't have a very good team. So my answer is, it depends on who shows up to dance. If it's the Chiefs or the Rams or even the Seahawks or any of these average teams to playoff teams, hell no, not interested at all. But if it's one of these, you get one of those lottery picks, you know, like in basketball, and it's not protected. So if you told me the Cowboys were going to give us their second and third and future first, I'm taking that. I'm hitting the like button, bam, right off the bat.
And this is a point you've made, is like, those are cool scenarios to entertain, but one of my draft pet peeves, and this, I'm not talking down to anybody, but it's the people that just throw, well, just trade back off the cuff. And you're like, dude, like, what? That's not an easy thing to do. Someone has to call you, and they have to want to go up there, and they have to be able to want to pay the price that you're asking. Like, the 49ers have managed to do it enough, but it's just like, trading back seems rare to me. It doesn't happen often. You've mentioned the fact that it rarely works out for the team trading backwards, and there has to be somebody there. It's hard to see that somebody in this draft class. The X factor that I told you about is the Cowboys pick at 12, the 49ers pick 11. If somehow Ashton Jeanty made it to the Niners pick and somebody really wanted him, let's just say like the Broncos, I could see the 49ers getting lucky and somebody wanting to jump Dallas to get that running back. But it's just, that's just a scenario. I don't see a whole lot of players in this draft class, specifically at 11, that somebody's going to want to pay a premium for. Like you said earlier, it's not to me, and I agree with this, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of difference between 11 and 25. 20.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of talent that's squished in there, which is a good thing, but not if you're wanting to trade back.
I like it. All right, let's get to these louder laws. I want to learn about your thoughts here. What are your ideas on some of these projection players? These are guys that are maybe switching position because of elite athleticism, or they've never gotten sacks. Guys like Shamar Stewart, or you know, Jaylon Walker, guys like that, Savion Williams, elite athletes, but no production and haven't really put it together. After the combine, everybody falls in love with these types of players. Where do you fit on guys like that, these tweeners, projection type guys in the draft?
All the way out. All like as far out of the club as you could be. And look, I mean, there's a little, I could absolutely be wrong. And it's not like I'm here planting my flag and this is where I'm going to die type of thing. I don't put as much effort into the draft as I would need to put in to have those types of opinions. But if you're not doing it in college, why would you be doing it in the pros? You know what I mean? Against lesser talent players, against players that don't plan for you the way they do in the pros.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
It's just, I want you to show me that you've done it. I care so much less about the combine and these pro days than I do about just what I watch to do on the football field. Like I don't care about your arm length, like the whole Will Campbell arm length thing and his answer to that is like, dude, this is just show me you can play football. I don't think that somebody that a half an inch in your arm length is automatically going to expose some weakness that has never been seen before. So the inverse is if you're one of these guys that's an absolute freak athlete, but you just never did it in the college, I'm just going to assume that you're not going to do it in the pros. That's just my assumption. Could I be wrong about that specific player? Yes, absolutely. A good example of me sort of being wrong is Chop Robinson.
Mm. And Jason Owe. Same one. Right.
Not being super productive, but when he got into the pros, he had like an arguably a better season in the pros than he did his last year in college. So it definitely happens. But in terms of the 49ers and where they're at and the fact that they are in this weird, we need to hit on these guys types of things, you can't just take a risk on projection. If you were the 2019, 20, 21 Niners, let's say the Trey Lance pick never happened, and they wanted to take a risky like edge rusher with all the tools at that pick, then I'd be all about it because you've already got guys on the line like Arik Armstead, DeForest Buckner. You've got Nick Bosa, whatever the draft was after Nick Bosa. You know what I mean? You can insulate yourself if it doesn't work out. Well, the 49ers aren't insulated from anything right now,
yeah,
especially on that defensive line. And I wouldn't throw so much effort into the defensive line if their defensive line group didn't look like how it looked. I think a lot of the times, like last year, we kind of assumed they'd go offensive line, but when they didn't, it wasn't a total shock. Their offensive line was still okay. But this year, it's like very confident that they're going a lot of defensive line early because they just have to. I mean,
unless, okay. You know. No, go finish. I want you to finish that, and then I want to expand on going defensive line early and get your thoughts on something else. But that, sorry about that.
It's just no. You're good. We're just talking. It's just I hesitate to say this because it's the 49ers and everything we think they're going to do, they probably won't do. But to me, it's like, how could you not go defensive line early and a lot early? It's just unless they have this longer term view where they just don't care exactly what happens this year along that defensive line. You know what I mean? Maybe they're setting themselves up for this rebuild. I hate those words, those rewords, retool, rebuild, rehash, whatever. It's just, it seems like such a glaring need that, of course, that's where they're going. They have to. They've left themselves no choice. But every time we think that,
they go a different way. Everybody right. thought offensive line was such a dire need. And I remember like a month before, I tweeted out something to the effect of like, respond with the GIF if the 49ers don't draft an offensive lineman in the first, second round. And all of them, all of the responses were just like, what the, like, what are you, crazy, stupid, whatever. And then the Niners didn't do it. Now they hit in the third round. But if you look at that 49ers roster on the offensive line, they have it kind of full. The bodies are there, whether they're good bodies, but like their roster limits that usually carry into the 53, like you've got all your interior guys. You have your centers. You have your guards. If Spencer Burford is working out a tackle, like Matt Barrels has talked about, yeah, you usually carry three guys that are tackles. So I think the fans in the community really believes offensive line is a huge need, but nobody disagrees about the defensive line. So here's my next question to you.
Yeah.
Would you prefer going defensive tackle early or defensive end early? If you had to pick and just say, I want that first round number 11 pick, whether you trade up, trade back, whatever, to be one of those defensive line positions, which one do you put the bigger premium on?
I thought about this, and I want to make it clear that I don't think there's a wrong answer. Like, here's my best way of putting it as I was thinking about it. What you and I'll have you help me here. What's a defensive lineman that you are very confident will be there at 11 that you would want, really want?
Derek Harmon.
Okay, let's go Derek Harmon, and then give me an edge guy that you are very confident would be there at 43.
I'll go with
Go with your guy.
Donovan Ezeraku.
Okay. And he might, his stock is just do.
He's a coach's like guy. It. He's a film guy.
Right. And it, let's say, I mean, you got the Landon Jacksons. You got the JTs. I'm not going to try and pronounce his last name. Whoever you went with the inverse, let's say you went edge first and then defensive line second. I think our combination of guys is going to be the better combination. If they got into a fight, our combination is winning. The inverse is not. And maybe that, and this is something you can correct me on, and I kind of corrected myself earlier. I was thinking, all these top edge guys, Abdul Carter is in his own realm. He can sit there and be what he wants. 49ers ain't touching him. The Mike Greens, the James Pierces, you know, and then you've got the Michael Williams and the Shamar Stewarts that I wouldn't touch anyways. At very least, you've got the James Pierce and the Mike Green. Those are the guys that the 49ers could conceivably take at 11. I think they would be best fits as like 3-4 outside linebackers, you know, and could they work? Yeah. Cause I was thinking like, dude, the 49ers traded for Dee Ford. Of course they're cool with these smaller guys. But to me, I just like the combination better of defensive tackle in the first and one of those edge guys in the second. Like Donovan, you said, I like Landon Jackson a lot. I like JT a lot. JT, like, it's not just because he has a Samoan name and it's not just because he has the Samoan hair. It's just like he plays defensive line like Talanoa Hufanga plays safety. The dude is like a wrecking ball. It's not always perfect. The technique is not always great, but the guy just motors for days. Like, I had so much fun watching him. It was crazy. So I've just thought about it a lot, and I kind of like the combination better of defensive tackle early and edge in the second. If those were the only combination you were working with, I like that a little bit better. Would I be in some bad mood if the 49ers went edge defensive line? No, because there's probably an argument to be made that the defensive lineman you get in the second round will be, what's the best way to say this? There's less of a talent drop-off in defensive line from 1 to 2 as there is in edge. Maybe. I'm not even sure if I buy that myself.
See, I thought that too. And so that was my initial draft take, but then I started slating. Like, so I build out I do like a draft war room board or whatever. I have more second round edge players than I do defensive tackles. I have 4 second round defensive tackles, and I have 7 second round defensive ends. Now they're all over the place and whatever, but like, I think they're somewhat comparable. And I'm with you too, where it's like, dude, there's not a wrong answer.
Yeah, that's the part that I want to kind of fall back on. Like, we're just kind of talking mix and match here. And this is assuming the 49ers give us the opportunity to see that. But
Oh, man. And I do have to rebuttal some of the chat, put some anti-Derek Harmon misnomers out there. He is not bad against the run. In fact, he led all of college football in tackles for loss. And if you're a PFF guy, oh, well, he graded above 80 grade against the run with a 7.1 run stop rate, which is very, very high. So now the consistency, I understand that. But no, don't come at me with y'all better back up what you got to say. Anyway, I'm joking half-heartedly. But I do love Derek Harmon. I'm sold on that guy. Okay, well, let's flip it to the other side of the trenches then. Offensive line, again, we just talked about how big of a need it is for us. Is there anybody where you're just like, man, you know, Will Campbell, his arms are longer than they were, and we've seen that a lot.
They grew.
Yeah, but that's okay. But what are your thoughts about kind of, you know, in whatever order, whether it's Kelvin Banks, Armon Membu, Will Campbell, Josh Simmons injured, so I'm going to leave that one out there.
God, man,
do those guys move the needle for you?
They all do. Yeah, and here's my thing with the offensive line, and this is a horrible example to use, but I've never faulted the 49ers for when they traded up for Trey Lance. Obviously, I think the decision to do that was right, but the process that they apparently used where they hadn't even fully evaluated all the guys, that people are changing their mind. Like, to me, you don't make that trade until you are absolutely certain. I want that guy. Let's go. Like, I'm willing to pay for him. But the part I'm referencing here is, I think the decision to jump up there because they probably felt they were never going to be in range of that striking distance of a quarterback in a while. It's kind of the same thing I feel about pick 11 when it comes to offensive line. If things work out how the 49ers hope they will, they're not going to be picking 11 again. And quality tackles just really don't work their way down that often. Can you find one? Of course they can. What are the Eagles rolling out a 7th round tackle right now? One of the highest paid offensive linemen in the league. You know what I mean? Like, it happens. And the 49ers found a premium guard in the 3rd round. But to me, if the 49ers feel like, hey, we're not going to be picking up at 11 that often, at least we don't plan on it, let's go ahead and get a premium offensive lineman now. That way we're benefiting it. Cause that, and this is when you start to come full circle on the whole 1st round versus 2nd round conversation. Let's say in some fantasy land, the 49ers are kind of dead set on going O-line, D-line in any combination for the first 2 rounds. The quality offensive lineman you're going to get at 11 is drastically better than the quality offensive lineman you're going to get at 43. Whereas a defensive lineman, there may be less of a disparity between what you would have got at 11 versus 43. So if you're really dead set on improving your offensive line, which the 49ers should be, it doesn't have to be here, but they should still be there. I would never fault the 49ers for going Will Campbell, for going Armon Membu, for going, who is the 3rd one that I just left out?
Kelvin Banks.
There you go. If those are, and those, to me, those are kind of the 3 that I think are justifiable there. I hate how things have worked out for Josh Simmons. I wish the 49ers could make that pick there. Could they? Yes, of course. I think it would raise a lot of eyebrows. But Josh Simmons, to me, based on the limited time I watched him, like, would this guy have been the top offensive tackle in the class if it wasn't for that injury? And we're talking about like top 5 offensive tackle type thing, top 5 pick. So I'm not advocating they take him at 11. I just, every time I see his name, I'm like, damn, man, like, that guy should be, you know what I mean? And if he's there at 43, then that would be an exciting pick to me. But again, I can't sit here and bang the table about not taking projection guys and then be like, I'll take the guy with the torn patellar tendon. Let's go. Sign me up. But he's just so good. So there is a huge boom potential there. But I'm fully on board with the 49ers going offensive line at 11. Do I think there's bigger needs? Yes. But I've always said, especially as of late, like, I understand that a lot of teams draft for need, but you just got to understand that when you do that, you're passing up better football players. And needs change so quickly. Like, last year, we thought Ricky Pearsall was this total, like, Kyle Shanahan luxury pick. Why the heck did they do that? And now they are absolutely counting on him to take the next step because of the way things have changed. Now, some of that was their own choices. They chose to trade Debo. Well, I don't know how all that went down. He asked, but... So if you don't think offensive line is the biggest need, that's fine. But if an offensive lineman is the best player on your board when you get to pick 11, I won't fault the 49ers at all for going that direction. You know, it's just
Well, let me ask you this. How long do you expect Trent to play? And this is Colton McKivitt's last year under contract. So, like, it's also Spencer Burford's last year. So, like, you do not have – you can – there's no way you can plan to have one, let alone two or three of these tackles to return. Like, and Burford's kind of a transition tackle. But, like, are you going to pay McKivitt's $18 million? Because that's what he's going to get next year. We saw what Jalen Moore got, $15 million. Colton McKivitt's is a better player, more consistent. So does that factor into a little bit more? Like, man, what you going to do at tackle?
Well, that to me makes me more frustrated at what they did with the defensive line. Because, again, I feel like – doesn't mean they have to do it in the first round, but I feel like this team has backed themselves into this corner of, like, if we don't go defensive line, we are going to get walked all over all season long.
Yeah.
They were already getting walked over all season long, and now they have half the guys they used to have. And essentially, all of the ones with genuine starting reps are gone. I mean, Evan Anderson, shout out to him, got himself into the action towards the end of the season. But what I'm trying to say here is, like, the defensive line is just like, it's always going to be knocking on the side of your head as you try to look at any other position during the first round, because it's like, hello, we have nobody over here. But at the same time, the offensive line still is begging for a high quality draft pick. You have a center that's basically a turnstile. You have a left guard with currently nobody there. You have a left tackle where we don't know if he's going to play beyond this year. He says he is, or at least we've heard he says he is. He's also up there in age, so he could get injured. So you couldn't go wrong with insulating yourself from that a little bit. You have a right tackle on the last year of his deal. And, like, the only person on that offensive line with any long-term stability is Dominic Pooney.
Wow.
So,
and we just got him. We just got him.
So yeah, it's like, well, I mean, if anybody was upset that the 49ers went offensive line, I would be like, why? Like, there's positions that could easily be upgraded on, and there's positions, players that are about to head out the door after this year. And the good thing about the Will Campbells, the Armon Membus, the Kelvin Banks, is I would have no problem whatsoever plugging him into left guard next to Trent Williams, learn his ways for 2 years max, learn his ways, little Nacho Libre. And then you've got yourself your left tackle, somebody who you feel can slide over there and play that position. And I don't care how long Will Campbell's arms are, like, they can all play left tackle for me. I'm all good.
Yeah, I'm with you there. David, I like this question. We kind of addressed it a little bit earlier. What's the lowest pick you'd feel good trading back to? Yeah, all the Niners fans want to trade back. You got to have another team. But, like, we talked about trading out of the first. Are you comfortable dropping down to 20, 25? Like, any issues whatsoever? Is there a pick where you'd be like, man, they kind of fell back a little too far?
I think 20 is probably the threshold. And it's, I'm not just saying that. It's like, we'd have to, if I ran through, and I have done quite a few mock drafts just on my own gander, but you start to get to the point where you're like, oh man, like, that guy's not there. Oh, that guy's not there. It's not like we say the talent level stays relatively even, but it's not like there's guys that don't come off the board that you're disappointed that you no longer have a shot at. So I would probably go back to 20, and you've mentioned this a few times, but only if somebody was giving me a second. You know, like, if I'm going from 11 to 20, you better give me a second. I know nobody trades seconds for whatever reason that is. But it's just like, it better be worth it. It has to be worth it. That's a pretty steep drop. I would rather go somewhere like, 14 to 18 type of deal. Like, that right. would be a little nicer. But again, if somebody's willing to really pay up for it, then you got to consider it, especially when you got so many holes on the roster.
The Arizona spot, they're at 16, and they have a higher third rounder, pick 78. Like, that is my, like, perfect. If we could get pick 16 and pick 78, I'd be the happiest man alive. I love the third round. I love this year's third round. And, you know, we're going to dive into this a little bit. And, you know, I got one more question for Louder's Loss. I got to get the alliteration in there. Do you see experience for players as big of a deal as the 49ers have last year? You know, we talked about Trey Lance. But, man, last year, every single player they touched, lots and lots of snaps, lots and lots of starts, a lot of experience. How important is that to you? Especially, let's just and kind of divide it up a little bit. Days one and day two of the draft. So the first through third rounds, is experience a key factor? And we're going to put this to the test when we do our mock draft in the second half of this show.
It is. Man, I'm trying to quantify it a little bit. It just, to me, it depends. I mean, it depends on where your head's at in terms of like a year one to year three impact thing. I think highly experienced players can have an immediate impact way more often. Like, one huge reason that Brock Purdy was able to step in and be so good is because the dude played, like, I don't know, 5,000 college snaps, whatever it is. You know, like, the dude had played thousands of snaps in college as the starting quarterback, and stepping in for the 49ers and kind of just taking the reins, like, felt relatively easy to him, especially with the talent he had and Kyle Shanahan calling the plays. So, and, you know, the fact that Ricky Pearsall has so much experience is going to help him, you know, as long as he's not getting shot at. It's going to help him brace for the fact that the 49ers are now counting on him to kind of be this Suedo wide receiver 1/2. Juwan Jennings is going to be the dude until Brandon Ayuk, but who knows how long that's going to take. I don't think the experience thing is like, I have to have it, but to me, it's a huge boost. It's a huge way of breaking tiebreakers on a draft board, or it's a huge way of, if you're caught between two players, I'm going to want the one with the experience more. Especially when you're talking about these positions of need that the 49ers have, because they're going to need guys to step in and have an immediate impact. And if you don't have a lot of experience, the shock factor of stepping into the NFL is going to be even more bright. Hmm. You know, like, those lights are going to be even brighter based on the fact that you haven't just kind of, you barely even got settled into your role in college, let alone getting settled into the role where everybody's five times better than they were in college. So it's not something that I would live and die by. Obviously, the 49ers are huge for them. If, I mean, like, Jihad Campbell, was one of the top guys, has a very limited amount of experience.
Yeah, both Jihad Campbell and Jalen Walker haven't played very much. They're both like 2 or 3 on the experience scale. So, like, I go through each position, most snaps in a career, fewest snaps in a career. Okay, the most is 10, the fewest is 1, and I rate everybody based on like those numbers. And I want to make sure I get this one right here. But yeah, Jihad Campbell, he's at a 2 on the experience scale. And Jalen Walker's at like a 3. So neither one of them have played a lot because they're at Georgia and they had to wait their turn. But man, that was some good football.
If you're counting, and I love Jihad Campbell. I love him. But if you're counting on that guy to step in and just be the dude next to Fred Warner, there's a chance that, and again, in 2 or 3 years, he could easily eclipse somebody like D Winners. But there's a very safe bet that right away, Jihad Campbell in a pro environment in that moment may not be even better than D Winners, because he's still like, he has to learn everything. Like, you have to learn the entire scheme, and you're not falling back on a huge bet of experience. Would I expect Jihad Campbell to be better than D Winners? Yes, of course I would. But it just depends on where you're at as a team and what you're hoping that player does right away. If they've got a lot of experience, I expect them to contribute right away. If they don't have a lot of experience, it's a bit more of a toss-up. You never know how they're going to react to just the, whoa, this is way faster.
I like it. All right, well, it's about time to jump over to our mock draft. But before we do, man, y'all got to come out to our draft party. I am so excited. The 49ers Rush Road Trip is heading into year 6. We started back in 2019, and we're coming home to the Bay Area. For the draft, we're going to be live downtown in the North Beach area at the historic Broadway Studios for day 1 and day 2 of the NFL draft. So come join us. We're going to have join the faithful live broadcast of draft picks as they are coming in live time with full TVs. We got big screens. We've got trivia. We've got giveaways and much, much more. Doors will open 1 hour before the draft starts on both days. And if you're coming from work, no worries. If your ticket, you buy your ticket, automatic guaranteed entrance, show up whenever you can. Kids get in free. And if you are struggling trying to get your youngsters to be more on board with the 49ers or the draft or whatever, bring them out to an event. They get in free with a ticketed adult, and we make sure our entire team knows kids come first. Every single youngster leaves with something tangible that they can tie to this experience. Come give it a shot. Tickets are currently only $20 for each day. That's it. We're not trying to make a lot of money on this. We're just trying to build a wonderful experience. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com Get your tickets today for day one and day two of the NFL draft. Prices will go up, but with where they are right now, just $20 a piece and kids get in free. Join us, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. All right, it is time. Allow us to enter into the draft war room that is PFF's big board. Now, I am merely an assistant, scout, whatever you want to call me. Rob Lauder is going to do what Rob Lauder wants to do. And So I am just here for answers and advice. I don't know the terminology there, but we're going to do a 7-round mock draft, going with kind of their previous settings. So let's dive in. And again, we are going to, we'll start off kind of slow just to see if you do want to trade up. But if you want to trade up, trade back, speed up, whatever, we can do whatever you want to do. So here we go. Let's get this draft started. And Cam Ward goes number one. I think that's probably going to be the situation. Shedeur Sanders, too, I think would be a giant mistake, but that's okay. Abdul Carter, 3. He's the number one player on my big board. Travis Hunter, 4. So now we're at pick 5, the Jags. I think any chance I get Mason Graham, if you love Mason Graham.
This is always the Mason Graham pick. This is always the Mason Graham.
It's where he should go, in my personal opinion. Does a trade-up even enter your mind right now, or you got to wait and see?
I think this is just a little too high. I think if I'm trading up, it's probably 7. See, there you go.
Mason Graham just went.
Yeah, I think 7 is where I'd want it. I can't give away too many picks.
Is there anybody outside of Mason Graham? Will Campbell's gone. Now we're at set. Is there anybody else you're willing to trade up for? Or are you just like, let's just see what we can get at 11?
And PFF doesn't show you a big board, huh?
They do not, but I can tell you who's available because I'm a psychopath.
Because you're the man. No, I don't think there's anybody else I would trade up for.
Okay, I think Will Campbell goes this high as well.
Do you think he goes to the Raiders?
No, I don't think the Raiders per se, but I think that the Patriots are taking a tackle. Whether that's Mimbu, Genty, Golden went 9.
Okay.
Ooh, I wouldn't be shocked by that. Look at that. Back-to-back
wide receiver run.
Tyler Warren's gone. Genty's gone. Matthew Golden gone. Tet McMillan gone. Now the 49ers are on the clock.
This is like good, but bad. Like you've got definite talent sitting here. Like this
lot of
be a hard choice.
And I gotta be, I'm a little upset with PFF because I have Jahdae Barron 7 on my big board. They copied me, probably for me doing too many mock drafts. But okay, let's go through the big board. We got Jahdae Barron, Malachi Starks, Jihad Campbell, who we talked about, Armon Mempu. He's still sitting there. Mike Green, Will Johnson, Luther Burden, James Pierce, Ezeraku, Kenneth Grant, Josh Simmons, Kelvin Banks, Walter Nolan, Mikael Williams, Shamar Stewart, Jaylon Walker, Derek Harmon, go on and on and on. So,
I'm not going to ask you to sell me on him because I'm not sure I would still go with it anyways, but I've seen a lot of people talking about Jahdae Barron's just like a seamless fit for the 49ers. And I, to be honest and upfront with you, I don't think I'm taking him here, but
I would not either.
Why? What do you, and you like him? He's 7th on your big board. He's 7th on PFFs. He's gaining a little bit of steam, tested well, but also has the film to back it up. What do you like about him?
I think that he would be one of my gold helmet type guys that has like the perfect, he's D'Amador Lenore personality, play style. He's had a full season at safety, was excellent. A full season 2 years ago at nickel full time was excellent. Moves outside, only 1 year experience at outside, which is a negative, but he was the Jim Thorpe Award winner. You watch him against the best of the best, Jeremiah Smith, who's the stud freshman wide receiver, shut him down better than anybody else did. Shows up big in big moments, ball skills, speed. The biggest knock on him, and in certain systems, like some people say, oh, he's a nickel guy, not in the 49ers scheme. If you are the Colts, yeah, he's probably a nickel because, yeah, he's got 30-inch arms. That's not great, but you're a coach. We're not 49ers, not a threshold team. And so I just think that he is just such a clean player, no injuries, lots of experience, ball skills, speed. It's just like I rate all these players based against – so experience 8, versatility 10, speed 9, acceleration 10. Dude just has it. And
I did watch him quite a bit, and I wasn't like blown away, but I liked him too. I feel like he plays football how the 49ers would want one of their corners to play football.
100%.
That being said, I'm definitely going to Armon Membu.
Oh, so you, there's no whatever about it.
There was never. Now, like, but I am intrigued by the Jahdae Barron thing. And Jahdae, is it Jahdae? Jahdae?
Yeah, Jahdae. Like Ja Rule, Jahdae.
Ja Rule. Anyways,
murder.
It's just Membu has that perfect blend of need and value and the draft board all coming together. He would immediately plug in as your starting left guard. He would add so much juice to that side of the offensive line. He looks like a slightly smaller version of Trent Williams, or at least not in the way the frame presents itself. Trent Williams is not the biggest offensive lineman in the NFL, but that dude is so wild to look at. Like, he looks like, you know, a lot of these guys like to call themselves silverbacks. Well, Trent Williams looks like a silverback. Like, that dude will just throw you around. Like, an average-sized guy like me, he would just toss me around. Like, I've been around DeForest Buckner. I've been right around Eric Armstead. None of them hold a candle to what just Trent Williams looks like standing next to you. Weird. Anyways, I feel like Armon Membu has a little bit of that. Can he improve? Of course he can. And what's better to help you than just to play next to Trent Williams? Like, sounds pretty good to me. And then he can slide over there and give you your next Trent Williams when he leaves.
And to those of you that are saying, like, Armon Membu at 11, I think there's a possibility. I think that there are several teams that will have their number one tackle being Will Campbell. And I think the majority of teams will have Armon Membu. I think that those are the kind of two clear front runners from a consensus perspective. Now, back-to-back drafts last year and 2023, the number three offensive tackle went in that 11 spot. So, so I like this. Now, before I make this pick, you don't get to see the big board as we move forward. So is there or are there a few players where you're like, if they fall to 35, that, like, I would be interested in trading up? Or are you just like, you know what? Let's just see how it goes. We can run this however you want, Mr. Louder.
No, sorry, I think that the back end of round one is a kind of a sweet spot to trade up for. It's not that there won't be a lot of talent falling to round two. And look, like, I understand that the 49ers offensive line coach said, like, you know, just give me guys that are serviceable and you can draft the playmakers early. I don't agree with it. Like, and I'm running this damn mock draft. So,
that's right. This is like, what would Rob do?
I understand that he said that, but you're at a point now where all of your talent is about to walk out the door. Trent Williams, who knows when he's leaving? Colton McKivitz, last year of his deal. Jake Brendel needs replacing now, probably won't be. There's nobody at left guard. So cool, man. You can just keep drafting playmakers, but it's not going to matter if Brock Purdy's getting put on his ass every other play. And it's not even just about how many times he gets put on his butt. Sorry, I shouldn't. Earmuffs. It's about the fact that if that starts happening more frequently, quarterbacks lose their patience. They lose their train of thought. They start worrying about what's happening downfield, and they worry about what's happening right in front of them. You bail out of clean pockets because you don't expect them to be clean. Like, the reciprocal, like, everybody's seen that clip of Sam Darnold, and I understand Sam Darnold's not a great example, but, like, where he just sat down, he's like, man, I am seeing ghosts. That can happen to any quarterback. We've seen it even happen to Aaron Rodgers. Like, if you start letting that offensive line just deteriorate to a point where you're asking the quarterback to play hero ball all the time, then you've got a problem. And I just think that offensive lineman is one of the absolute safest picks you could make on the planet.
I love it. All right. A++. I love this. Armon Membu at 11. He fell. Jahdae Barron went 13.
I do consider that falling too. Like, I consider him a guy that's going to go before the 49ers pick now.
He's just such a clean player. It's difficult to find a way that he will fall. But here we go. We're going to be down
pause it.
30.
Pause it. Okay,
Walter Nolan just went pick 28. Luther Burden's gone. Kenneth Grant is gone. Ezraku went super early. Jalen Walker, Simmons, Mike Green, Jihad Campbell, Mikael Williams. Gone. So
we might just resume, but I wanted to see who else was hanging around.
No problem.
Do you think Landon Jackson makes it there?
He usually does. Now, Derek Hartman's still there, too. I'm going to be pounding my chest on that one big time. But
I know I want to go D-line or DN next. It's just a matter of which one. And I'm kind of scrolling through their big board right now and just taking a look at what we got.
So, Derek, if we're looking defensive tackles, these are guys that are still available. Derek Hartman, Alfred Collins, TJ Sanders, Darius Alexander, Tyleek Williams. If you're looking edge, Nick Squarton, Landon Jackson, Princely Umamiel, and JT Tumalau, and Jordan Birch. Those are kind of the next up defensive
tackles. What did you think about Tyleek Williams' little spill today?
Yeah, he came out and said he got a cramp afterwards running the 40. It looked really, really bad, and he was gone for a while. But I saw the video of him coming out doing the thumbs up and saying it was just a cramp, but it looked bad, like he had to be helped out. And as somebody who got a cramp today during their workout, I could attest that was not good.
Cramps can render you temporarily just useless. So I'm not faulting him for that. I'm just wondering if anybody's going to worry about it. It doesn't seem like that. I mean, that's a guy I would really be looking at.
He's a damn good player, man.
Let's just let it ride. Let it ride.
Cool. I like it. We'll speed it up just a little bit.
I'm not super eager to get rid of
Eric Harmon gone. Darius Alexander gone. Wow. Alec went. Landon Jackson.
Dang it.
And Jackson Dart just went right before us. Now, here's the good news.
Those first two are very tempting.
It is still loaded. Okay, let's just go over the big board. Some names. Demetrius Knight. Niners love him. Tyleek Williams. Yeah, he's got a cramp still. So Trey Amos. Niners met with him, the corner. Maxwell Hairston, one of the fastest players in the country, corner. Princely Umamiel, if you want that speed guy off the edge. Braden Swenson, another guy getting a lot of repetition and kind of moving up draft boards late. Good tape, quality tape guy. Jaden Higgins, JT Tumalau, linebacker Carson Swish, Quinshon Judkins. Is this Kyle Shanahan? Is there any Kyle Shanahan in you, Rob Lauder? No. Or you got to go running back early?
There is not.
Jack Sawyer, Darian Porter, Jared Ivey. He's kind of your three down, bulky defensive end guy. Omar Norman Lott. He's your pass rushing interior guy. Yep. It's a little early for him. Kyle Kennard. He's an all purpose tough dude. Donovan Jackson. I love.
What kind of trade backs are being offered right now?
Oh, we got four options, man. So we're at pick 43. And we've got three options. We got 47 Cardinals at pick 51 Broncos, 56 Bills, and 97 Vikings. Do you just want to fall back a little bit, or do you want to jump back big time? What are you feeling here?
We're at 43. I don't think I'd be comfortable with 56. I think I'd either be 40. What are the offers at 47 and 51?
Okay, so this one, they don't do offers. They just say they're interested.
You just have to put it together.
Yeah, so we could put it together. So if we look at the trade chart, which I have right here, pick 43 is worth 470. Pick 47, 430. That's only a 40-point sway, which, man, we could do a swap where we get there 113. Yeah, see, so the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, they're overpaying, but
if the Cardinals are calling for me to trade back, they're going to overpay.
Yeah,
you're in my division, you're going to overpay. I'll do it. I don't have a problem with trading within a division because both teams have to feel like what they're doing is good for them. And if you do it with any team.
Whoops, I did it wrong. There we go. That's better. So they are giving up 115. I want to do this total point. 64 plus. So they're paying 493 for 470. So that's a 20-point overpay. Equivalent to a 6-round pick. So they're overpaying.
We would get 115 for moving back four spots.
Correct. So you're getting an extra fourth rounder for falling back four spots. Not bad.
What do you think?
I would take this trade in a heartbeat. There is nobody I'm madly in love with. Like if Derek Harmon was there, Landon Jackson was there.
Right. That's kind of how I feel too.
Yeah. So we want to offer this. It's got a 91% chance to
be
accepted.
Let's do it. Let's fire away.
There we go. There's middle school John Chapman asking out every single girl in the at reset.
Hey, man, the shotgun approach. Eventually, you're going to hit something.
Just got to find one. All right, trade went through. They trade up for Trey Amos, who was the number one player on my board.
Oh, probably. And there goes Tyleek. Okay.
Caleb Johnson gone. Tyleek Williams gone. Zari Thomas gone. So now the 49ers are on the clock. Okay. But there's still a lot there. I mean, you're pretty sold on defensive line, though. So let's filter this by defensive tackles and see if there's a guy that jumps out to you, and then we'll filter at defensive ends. Shamar Turner, big run stuffer. Omar Norman Lott, your pass rusher. CJ West, he's your do-it-all, can do everything. Alfred Collins would be my pick here. He was seen at Texas Pro Day yesterday in a walking boot. I don't know what the situation is there, but now there's...
That's terrifying.
He did the combine. He did the field drills and stuff at the combine. So, like, I don't think it could be that. Maybe I don't know. I just don't know. But I have an early second round grade on him. I think he's the best run stuffer in this draft. Joshua Farmer, a little early for those guys.
Yeah, let's go. Let's check out the edge options. All right. I don't have to go this position, but I also, if you skip the defensive line here, I feel like you are,
yeah,
you're almost not going to get the impact you want to have.
There's a lot. Princely's my highest rated. He's your speed edge rusher. And then probably JT and Jack Sawyer. Like, those would be the three. And then Jared Ivey for me. Like,
I like those two. I think it might, with me, I think it might be between Princely and JT. Now, I don't mind the idea of a speed rusher, because Nick Bosa gives you that kind of compliment. Like, you need a guy that's going to get that quarterback to step up. Like, if you're relying on Princely's speed, then maybe that's a good combination. And it tells me the 40, at least the D4 trade, Leonard Floyd, to an extent, tells me the 49ers are interested in speed opposite Nick Bosa.
Yeah. And so, you told me in our text chat, you love watching JT. You love watching him play football.
I do. I do. I'm torn between Princely and JT. You know, maybe him and Nick Bosa will have some weird Ohio State superpower, like that they channel each other's, like, THE, you know, the whatever, dude.
Does character concerns affect you?
Huge, yeah.
Because Princely has those. He's got a little bit. Yeah, there was, like, after a game, went after some fans that were kind of like chomping at him on an away team. He's got a little, like, there's some issues there.
Fans can be such pieces of shish, though.
If you've coached, you know, man.
Yeah, like, I hate the fact that's one of my other things. Like, I hate the fact that fans think they can just say whatever to these dudes. Like, that they would not say to them on the street, by the way. But
what's the malice in the palace? I'm off. Right. We need more Ron Artests. I can't wait to read these emails coming my way.
You know what? I'm gonna go with my gut. I'm gonna go JT. I'm gonna go JT.
Get your guy, man. Okay, we're gonna draft it again. We don't get to see the big board after we make this pick. So is there anybody that we're watching, one or two names that would be – we traded back, and I love the trade back, trade up thing, but do we just want to take this pick and let it roll?
So I don't want to go too long. Our next pick isn't until 75. We've got 100, 113, and 115. To me, it feels like you should get rid of one of those. Take your 75, turn it into like a 60 or a 60 – if you can go up that far with one of those fourth rounders, but who would we be targeting? Let's figure that out.
One of these corners fall, I would love Maxwell Harrison. I would love Siobhan Reveal. Like, I think those are borderline first round players.
Let's target a location. Where would you want to get him? How far do you think, how far do you think 113 will get us up?
113 plus 100?
No, plus 75.
Plus 75, that's going to be 280. The bet maybe pick 60.
That's what I'm thinking. Should we pause it at 60 and see what we got?
Yeah, the problem is you just can't see the board at that point. But yeah, let's do that.
That's right.
So we're going with JT Tumalau, edge, and man, we have bolstered. We got Armon Membu and we got JT. And so I'm gonna slow this down just a little bit. There we go. Jared Ivey gone, Siobhan Reveal gone, pick 60. Are one of the corners still? Nope. Harrison went next pick after us. And so Princely's gone. Siobhan's gone. Jared Ivey's gone. Travion Henderson's gone. No defensive tackles gone. So they're still.
We're right around 60. I'm moving my big board, my PFF big board. Is CJ West still there?
CJ West is still there. He has not been picked.
Okay. And that's a name. What about Omar Norman Lott?
He's still there as well. No defensive tackle. So do you want the complete guy or do you want the pass rusher? You know what I mean? Like, I think you kind of got to do a little bit of both. I think CJ West is your complete run stuff for all that stuff. Pretty good versus the pass, but not elite. Omar is just a pass rusher.
What about, did Alfred Collins go?
He has not gone. You want to let it roll?
No. Well, I mean, now that you're saying that, like we think, well, no. I don't want to let it roll. No. What's the best defensive tackle we could trade up for?
Alfred Collins is number one on my board.
I'm willing to defer to my right-hand man in this situation. Let's make an offer.
Okay, so we're doing 17 and 113. 87% chance. Ooh, let's offer him 115. We're going to be chintzy. 80% chance.
Now, if they turn it down, do we get a chance to make another offer?
No. But there's three guys there. So
yeah, okay. We could always pause it again and fire away.
75 and 115. We traded back and picked up 115. Now we're going to offer that and jump back up to pick 60 with the Lions. We offer the trade. Oh, they didn't take it. Kyle Kennard went.
Kyle Kennard, but let's make the same offer.
We're going to do the same thing for pick 61 to the Commanders. And they said no. Elijah.
Keep firing them away.
We're running out of chances here. This one says likely to be accepted. So 62. Come on, man. Let's go. Still no. What is wrong with these people? Nobody likes us.
Oh, man. It would have been Demetrius Knight would have even been a sweet pick there, too.
All right. I'm going to sweeten it to 113.
Okay.
Let's go. Oh, I clicked resume draft. It's user error. I do that every time.
You kept clicking resume draft.
I did. I'm not a smart man.
I thought
man.
You were my right-hand man. What is happening here?
Well, it's kind of like when the Broncos didn't get their facts in on time with that one player back like in the 2000s. And they
were
lost
hitting
out.
Resume draft, and you were wondering why the draft was resuming.
I'm a smart man. All right. So we traded up. I'm an idiot. We want to go after one of these defensive tackles, right?
I mean, is Shamar Turner... He's the highest ranked one, but you don't like him better than Alfred Collins?
I like Shamar Turner. I think let me pull up my draft profile on him just real quick so I can highlight kind of like my 6'4", 300 pounds. He had a formal meeting with the 49ers at the combine. Size, versatility, quickness, can line up everywhere. Just again, the production's just not there with any A&M player. They're very poorly coached and designed to kind of stop the run, but all of his grades are in the 60s. So poor production. Graded out poorly. You're hoping he's one of your projection guys. All the A&M guys are projection guys.
Interesting. I don't want to project. We've already talked about this.
So pass rusher or run stuffer or all around. You got your option with Omar Norman Lott, pass, CJ, all around, Alfred, run stuffer.
God, man. The 49ers need both. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of getting after the quarterback from the interior. So draft me the defensive tackle that gets after the quarterback from the interior.
That is Omar Norman Lott and maybe one of the better pass rushers in this draft from the inside. So, boom. Look at this. Our picks now. Armon Mimpu, JT Tumalau, Omar Norman Lott. I freaking love it. And we're going to zoom through here now. We spent a lot of time on the early picks. Let's jump to our next pick, which is pick 100. But, man, that's Ooh, three.
I like Jalen Roy.
I love Jalen Rose. I'm a very, very big fan. He is awesome. Charles Grant, we got our tackle. No. David Walker, if you wanted to go another edge, really good player. This is how I feel every time we get to the third round. Every time.
Given the news that we just got today, the first official 30 visit, and you and I are going to do this again this year. John and I last year did an entire mock draft built out of nothing but top 30 visits. We even drafted Evan Anderson. They ended up signing him as an undrafted free agent. So given that, and we've gone defense with the last two picks, I think Harold Fannin has got to be it here.
Dude, I have a second round grade on him.
And our next pick is only 15 down the line. We're still going to have some options.
You're going to let me draft Harold Fannin Jr.?
I'm absolutely going to let you draft Harold Fannin Jr.
I love him. I love him.
That seems like he's becoming like every year there's those guys that are constantly mocked to the 49ers at very specific spots in those mock drafts. I feel like that's going to be Harold Fannin. And then he's going to go like 40 picks earlier. And everybody's going to be like, man, my mock drafts suck.
All right. Armon Mimpu, JT Tumalau, edge, defensive tackle, Omar Norman Lott, tight end, Harold Fannin Jr. Look at the big board. You got Femi Oladejo, another edge.
I still love this.
Jonas Sanker, safety, Kobe Bryant, corner, Jamari Caldwell. I was not expecting him to be there at this point. Very, very, very good player. Melo Dotson, Baron Sorrell, edge player.
James said fourth round punter time. Like,
that's right, man. Oof, goodness.
Punt that idea right out of the building.
What about this? Jadon Blue. Now, this is not a John Chapman selling Rob Lauder.
It's exactly what you're doing.
I don't think that I actually have a fourth round grade on him, but I think Kyle Shanahan or Mike McDaniel have to draft this guy. Like, he is the most prototypical high speed. Like I said, he's the most Raheem Mostert running back, even more than Raheem Mostert. You know, 4.2.
Can he catch the ball?
He's a third down option back. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm at a point now for the 49ers where, and look, if the talent is there, the talent is there. But I'm at a point, just given what this offense has become, where I'm not considering any running backs that can't run legit routes and can't catch with their hands away from their body. You know, it's basically, that's why I liked Rashard Smith so much out of
SMU.
SMU. I was trying to say LSU, but because he's a former wide receiver that just happens to be a good running back. I don't think he's anywhere near us on the draft board. But I'm just, my entire perspective on running backs when it comes to the 49ers has shifted to where if they can't be a factor in the pass game, not interested. I'm just
James says you will take a running back here and like it.
You will like it.
But I think Jamari Caldwell might be one of the better players. He's kind of that hybrid defensive tackle, defensive end, you know, jump in and out type guy. So, like, if I'm just looking at best players
What's
on the board.
What's up with Jonas Sanker? I keep hearing his name.
He's a fun player. I really liked him, you know, at Virginia, 6'2", 206. So, ideal, like, every Niners DB is as close to 6'2", 200 pounds as possible. 4.48 speed, elite acceleration, tough as hell, great tackler, like fits kind of everything. But the problem is he played mostly last year out of the slot. I think the Niners took him. They'd want him to play free.
Like a Jimmy Ward type of player?
Yeah. Acceleration is kind of his big deal. I think he's best at nickel. I think the Niners would want him at free. There's no way you're moving D. Amador Lenore out of the slot. Like, he is... That's his. He's not getting
it is,
that.
I know someone mentioned it too, but I don't necessarily consider any of them starters, but the 49ers have just brought in safety after safety after safety. Like, I don't know what to make of that. It wouldn't necessarily keep me from drafting a safety because
right.
I think some of those guys won't even make the roster, but I want to try and narrow this down to two positions because okay. We have to throw more at it. I want to go back to either edge or defensive line.
Okay.
Because we still haven't.
Richard Smith is there, by the way.
At 139. Okay. Well, maybe I'll look for him at 138.
Okay. So you want to look at edge again, correct?
Yeah. What do you think of Oladejo? The 49ers apparently like him.
Yeah. They like him a lot. They met with him. He's a really fun kind of transfer guy. They met with him twice, once at the Senior Bowl and then once, I think at the combine as well. He's a pass rush raw projection player. Like, you're getting elite three cone, elite shuttle, twitch, all that kind of different stuff. But he was the inside linebacker that just transitions to edge last year. So if you're sticking with your transition players or whatever else, or projection players, he fits that category. Is it different when you get to fourth round? Like, you're more comfortable with that?
Oh, absolutely. Because, yeah, at that point, it's almost you want to transition to – I mean, if there's still guys with experience that you feel very confident about. But I think once you get to the fourth, fifth, you know, you're almost betting on traits that are going to take over. You got to have some confidence in your coaching that you can take a player and kind of mold him. I think I want to go with either Oladejo or the defensive lineman that you like.
Jamari Caldwell.
Yeah.
Jamari Caldwell is freaking awesome. 6'2", you know, he plays a lot of different spots. Like, I don't know where they're going to put him. But, like, motor leverage, leadership, great versus double teams. I want him to be a defensive tackle, but, man, he plays like an edge guy. He's all over the place. So, like, you can play him everywhere. But I love this guy. So, I would love this pick.
And he's still kind of in that nose tackle frame?
Yeah, 330. 332 okay. pounds. He's a big dude. But, like, it's funny because he plays like an edge. Like, he'll side swipe and double gap and arm over and double hand swipe. Like, his moves are like a pass rusher, but he never gets pushed back. Very solid player. Very solid player. He has an 81.6 run stop or run grade. So, like, yeah, he's there. Not a lot of sack production, but he grades out positively. Pass.
We got 115 and 138 and 147. I like how they're spread out right now.
Yeah.
Is there any way that we could get both?
Both Femi and Caldwell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Femi is the highest rated player. So I would say we would take him first. Now we're at pick 116, which is about 60.
I know I'm making this take too long. Sorry.
No. Yeah. The numbers work. So if we take, I'm going to slow it down. We're going to take Oladejo. Okay.
I like that no matter what. Yes.
Okay. So we got him. Now I need to stop it. It won't let me pause it. Let me pause it. There we go. Okay. It wouldn't let me, it had a one pick go. Okay. So now we're going to trade. We're going to trade up to pick 117, and we're going to offer, we need 60 points, 147 and 138. So our next two picks, man, they take that easy. So yeah, we could offer 138 and 160. I don't want to get too far away from that because then it's not making
fine. It's unrealistic.
Yeah. So I'm going to offer trade instead of resume. Well,
147 and 160 are so close together that I'm comfortable dropping one if we had to. It's just... it's allowing us to target the positions I want. So let's
there we go.
Remember, hit offer trade, John. Don't hit.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, they took it. Okay. I was like, I thought we got rejected. That was rough. So we're taking Jamari Caldwell. And now whenever you look at everybody, people are going to hate this because it looks too good. The fact that you got.
I don't feel like we did anything unrealistic with this draft. I do think Harold Fannin goes a little bit earlier, but I think everything is kind of believable here.
Yeah, we're working it. Now, we don't have a corner. We don't have a linebacker. We don't have a wide receiver. We don't have a running back. So we need some position. We don't have a center. And we've got four picks left. Really only one. We got one fourth rounder left and then some sevenths. So now it's kind of like, okay, you're not going to get the seventh rounds are just flyers. So here's my question to Rob Lauder, GM. Dude, you have one pick left. That's going to be a contributor this year. What position do you have to have? Because the Niners have set you up where you've got to address. Is it linebacker? You don't have a number three corner. Wide receiver? Running back? Like, there are spots that you need. You address D-line. You address O-line. But, like, man, I feel like
corners. We got a couple edge rushers. Yep. Is there a corner that even remotely lines up with where we're picking?
Let's see.
I want to force.
Oh, Quincy Riley, Odell Fortune. Yeah, Denzel. Yeah, there's some guys here that I like.
Well, then I'm gonna give this one to you. I'm fine going corner because they really haven't brought anybody in that tells me that number three corner role is safe. So if you think there's a guy on the board that can step in and legitimately compete for that starting role. Do we even know where that starting role is? Is it outside? Is it inside? Is it outside and inside?
I think they want somebody to step into the role that the rookie played last year, Renardo. Because you don't change Demo. He stays exactly what he is. You move Renardo to Charvarius Ward's side, where he's just the always outside boundary corner, but we don't flip.
And Demo's corners. The one that bounces back and forth, right?
Demo's going to bounce back. He has said repeatedly, I'm doing that. So you just need an outside corner versus 11 personnel. That's it. Your nickel package, but he's not a nickel. He's an outside corner.
I'm good with corner as long as the need is or the, you know, we're getting some value here.
Right. And so yeah, I like Quincy Riley a lot. That is like now O'Donnell Fortune 6'1", 185. He's taller, a little bit longer, a little bit more length, but
who's the biggest, for lack of a better term, out of these guys, who's the biggest dog, the biggest punk, the biggest, the guy that will come up and tackle? Obviously, you need him to cover, but the guy that is still a little bit of an a-hole.
It's got to be Denzel Burke out of Ohio State. He's smaller, but, I mean, shoot, 8% missed tackle grade as a corner that came in at about 190. I think that he is... He's awesome, man. And I made this post earlier, like one full round of this draft is going to be just Ohio State and Texas players. Like they're going to have 30 plus players drafted. Just those two teams.
How are we looking at linebacker?
Oh, good call. Good call.
I just want to check. I like the idea of a corner.
Kobe King, Cody Simon, Danny Stutzman. He is the quintessential kind of 49ers height, weight, speed, you know, Fred Warner type guy. He's not Fred Warner. Nobody is. But profile, he's similar to that. Jay Higgins, the worst performance of the combine ever for a linebacker, perhaps, but like the ultimate instincts, tough, mean tackling machine. You know what I mean? Like, coaches are going to love him. Scouts are going to say we can't draft this guy, but he is. His tape is incredible.
Let's go. Let's go back to corner, and I'm going to let you. I'm going to let you make the pick.
Yeah, I'm going Denzel Burke here. Let me check the chat and see if they're putting somebody else out there. Ohio State 49ers, I like that. I like Riley here. Niners like him too. I like Teddy
Buchanan.
Denzel
Burke. I see a Denzel Burke.
Yeah, I think he's the best player and fits what the Niners do. And I think it's a big need. The Niners have met with more corners than any other position so far, official visits. So I think that they see that as a very real.
Well, they're going to have to, and I feel like we've kind of done that in this draft, but they're going to have to. You don't just bring back Robert Saleh and leave him with nothing. Like, the dude's not a magician. The 49ers have a ton of work to do, and it's got to be in the defense is where most of it has to happen.
All right, now we're in the seventh round. Wow, Aronde Gadsden? I got a fifth round grade on it. I don't know why
This is where you've got to take over.
Yeah, I think it's just, Jaquindon Jackson, good kid. Big O running back. We got to get a running back, man.
Yeah, I know.
We got to get a running back. So, like, let's filter this. There's no way Kyle Shanahan's making it through this draft. Raheem Sanders is there. That, like, I'm taking that pick. He's big body. One, we always draft South Carolina running backs. Marcus Lattimore, Mike Davis. You can go on and on and on. I think he fits. Vision's great. Really, really good player. I like Woody Marks. Jaquindon Jackson's huge. But I think Raheem Sanders is probably the best Shanahan guy. You cool with that?
Of course.
Okay, we got the stamp of approval. We're going to take that.
In the seventh round, in the late rounds, you know, that it's all about the scouting. It's all that's the chance where scouts have their chance to shine. So you're the scout, and I'm giving you a chance to shine.
Okay, wide receiver. I'm a big Rock Taylor guy. The 49ers.
Well, his name is Rock.
Dude, he's hilarious. Listen, let me pull up his arm length is like he's almost 6'10", but it's just he's really weird. Like, you see him on tape, and he's like one of those Madden like created characters where you like stretch out. Like, he almost had an 80-inch wingspan, but he's 6'2". He just got long ass arms.
That's Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, he fits that. My comp for him was Jabbar Gaffney. I went all the way back. Like, I like Rock Taylor. 49ers met with him at the Hula Bowl. Contested catches, length, physicality. He is mean. Your name's Rock. You're going to be mean.
Well, and we're in the seventh round, man. So if you've got, if there's something that player does that thinks that it gives them a chance to squeak into the final roster, then you roll.
Okay, so we don't have a linebacker.
Not that we're necessarily.
I haven't finished my late round linebacker, so I don't know.
This is putting a lot of faith in the D winners. There's still some options in free agency too. Is drawing a blank right here in this moment. The guy they tried to sign last year but went to the Cowboys instead.
He's still a free agent, Eric Kendricks.
And he had a halfway decent season.
Yeah,
not
he did.
Somebody I would mind putting next to Fred Warner. You know, at least to compete with D winners for the 2 and 3. But that's neither here nor there. Yeah, this pick is yours, dude.
Let's see here. We got a wide receiver. I might just go with the linebacker unless I see somebody that I really, really like on here.
Just to say,
I like Seth Finnegan, quarterback. Yeah, let's go quarterback. This is a Kyle Shanahan guy. Look at that. Back-to-back Memphis players. Not back-to-back, but we got two Memphis guys. Seth Finnegan, fun player, good quarterback. I think he's one of those Shanahan mold teams is going to take him. And let's see how we did. We got A-plus for Armon Membu. We got an A-minus for JT. A-minus Omar Norman Lott. C-plus Harold Fannin Jr. A for Femi Oladejo. B-plus Jamari Caldwell. D, Denzel Burke. C-minus Raheem Sanders. C-plus Rock Taylor. C-plus Seth Finnegan. Overall, B-plus. So what are your thoughts, 49ers fans and GM Rob Lauder, on how we did or did not do?
I got an F for not taking a punter or a kicker.
Oh, well, yeah. We're not going realistic. We're going smart choices here, not drafting the highest drafted kicker and punter and whatever, and both not.
I mean, given what we know about the 49ers roster, like, I feel like this type of draft, like, man, like, now you're coming off, you're on a defensive line, you've got JT opposite Nick Bosa, you've got a rotation of Norman Lott and Jamari Caldwell, along with the guys you already got on the roster. Oladejo can continue to kind of develop behind the JTs and the Nick Bosas and come in and, you know, maybe an obvious third down guy or something like that. Your offensive line gets a hell of a lot better, and it gets just a little more future-proof, a little more future-proof. You know, you've at least got another guy in the building.
I'd be so happy with this. I would be so happy with this.
I'm glad I made you proud, man.
Dude, man, I know it's been a long show, and I know we went longer than we were supposed to, and I apologize for that, Rob. But let's wrap this show up, and we'll have to do another show, whether during or after the draft. We'll figure that out. But, Rob, for those that perhaps have not because they live under a rock, talk to them about your show and where they can find you.
Striking Gold on the Blue Wire Network. Record a couple episodes a week, unless something comes up, and then I'm always down to fire enough off another episode. But when we get like to the, when the draft's happening, there'll be episodes after every other day. I'm going to have John on at least. I don't even know if I'm going to count this as being on, you know, like, ooh, he's going to give me the audio to put it on the Striking Gold feed. But I think between now and the draft, I want to try and get you twice. Okay. We got to do our top 30 visit draft and something else. We'll come up with something else, something Tropic Thunder related or something. But, and if you guys ever see a person on the 49ers Rush chat named LT Simple Jack, that is your boy in the chat. That is me. I'm a massive Tropic Thunder fan. That's been my Xbox Live gamer tag for like 15 years.
You're a big gamer. I always hear you talk about that on the show.
I'm on the PC now. I could turn the camera. I'm an adult, so I game on PC now. But yeah, I mean, I don't really have time anymore. I try to play for maybe an hour or two every now and then. But yeah, Striking Gold podcast, man. At @Rob_Louder on Twitter. I tweet every now and then. I podcast and just drop in.
I like it. Yatsik asks, when's the next 49ers Rush Zoom meeting? That's this Monday, the last day of the month at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. Hope to see you guys there. But that's going to do it for us. Rob, you are a legend and my favorite GM. And until
next
time.
We did well. I'm proud of you.
I ain't mad at it. See you guys and stay strong, faithful.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.